welcome to another edition of the Game Fix Podcast. I am Spanish.
And I am the Mike.
Yes, he's Mike on the mic. That's right. Verlaine is out this week. He is doing his Father's Day thing with his children. So we can't. Okay. So the cat, Mike's cat, is filling in for Verlaine. Who is this? Who is this, Mike? Can we introduce this cat to the world?
This is Chi-Chi.
Chi-Chi.
He is a 13-year-old giant toddler.
Yeah.
And loves being the center of attention.
Well, there you go. Well, you know, he's welcome to be on the show, of course.
No.
Hi, Chi-Chi. Let's get past the usual stuff. GameFixShow.com, that's where you find all of our stuff. Go check that website out. There's a lot going on that website, actually. I know, Mike, you pretty much post almost once a day. At this point, maybe once every 2 days, roughly. Give or take, depending on if you're too busy, and I totally understand that. Please go check that out, GameFixShow.com. Not only can you see the content that Mike posts and Gina as well, but you can also listen to the show right there, so you can listen to any of our recorded shows right there. And then, of course, our social media, so you can click and follow and like and subscribe and whatever, and we do appreciate all of that. You are petting that cat like you're a villain in, like, a 90s cartoon.
Yes. I'm not just here on Game Fix planning.
See, in my head, it's more like Inspector Gadget. What's his name?
Dr. Claw.
Dr. Claw. Yeah. That's what. Yeah.
I'll get you, Gadget.
Nice. That's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So there's a lot going on this week. I got a new light. You like that? You can actually see what I look like now, finally. Yeah, finally.
Gotta hide that handsome face of
yours. Aw, look at it. I got to shave. Look at it. It's highlighting all my bad features. Whatever. There's not any good ones, so that's fine, too. So there's a lot we got to talk about. Does cheating pay? I know cheaters don't pay, but are they going to pay? That's the real question. Starfield. We got a little information about Starfield, which is not surprising, but at the same time, it almost needs to be said, because there's a lot of stupid people out there that believe the other way, and we'll get to all that. Also, you know the saying, it's Nerf or
nothing.
Okay, so you know the saying. What about if it's Nerf or nope? We'll get into that too. At the very end, we're going to talk about episode 5 of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Five time.
That's right. Five. Yeah. All right, Booker T. All right, we'll get to that at the end. So we don't want to ruin anything for anybody, because that's not why we're here. We're not here to spoil things. But so if you haven't seen it yet, that will be your cue to kind of, like, you know, tune us out for a second, and then, you know, come on back after you watch it. So that's what it comes down to. But for now, let's focus in on us here. let's do that. But let's start like we've always started, and that's what we've been gaming. Mike, what has Chi-Chi been gaming this week? I mean, you.
His favorite game is throwing up on carpet, yep, and hoping I'm walking around barefoot and,
yep,
I find it.
Yep.
I finally played Elden Ring.
Oh, okay. Tell me.
This game is brutal.
Yeah,
if you're familiar with, like, Dark Souls style games, you pretty much know what to expect. Punishing difficulty, an emphasis on, like, parrying and blocking and playing defense. You can't quite muscle through it. Those games, I can't even say that they have a niche popularity anymore, because if you look at the sales of Elden Ring, it's no longer niche. That, like, these style of games are pretty much here to stay now. There's been a bunch of copycats out there. Like, you're seeing companies like Nioh, Code Vein, I get games produced by other companies that are attempting to, like, bite a little piece of that Dark Souls pie off. What separates Elden Ring from Dark Souls, and one of the reasons why I could never really get much into Dark Souls, is because I always thought that the game was, like, too linear. I've only ever beaten two Dark Souls games. Dark Souls 3 I still have to go back and beat, but it's boring and it's dry. You start off in like a catacombs and you just kind of go in a straight line before the game can tell you to like venture in a mildly different direction. So the games more or less have always been kind of a hallway. Even Bloodborne was kind of built the same way. Elden Ring is legit open world. You can go anywhere. The game doesn't tell you how to, the game doesn't tell you how to approach these things.
Why would it?
Yeah, and like that's like what people want. Like, don't hold my hand in gaming.
Sure.
Elden Ring doesn't do that. So I found two bosses that I probably wasn't supposed to fight. It was a giant crab that held like four different shields, and it mauled me in about 20 seconds. I didn't get a single hit on it.
Sounds about right.
Because yeah, and this was me just starting the game, so practically everything you run into almost feels a little bit like a beginner's trap. I probably should have picked a magic class because I love sitting back and just spamming fireballs or like arcane missiles.
Totally, totally.
And yeah, so I'm just like a handful of hours in, and I like its openness. If there is one knock that I have against it, is that it's probably too punishingly hard to be considered fun. If that makes sense, because there's like you ever have that feeling where like you feel like you're getting better at a game and you overcome it and you feel a sense of relief,
right?
Yeah, with this, that's almost every other encounter. And you'll die so much that you'll probably end up a touch more demoralized than you'd ever like to be playing the game. So I'd have to turn it off and maybe come back after an hour once I've like had a time to like reassess my approach. But the fact that you can kind of go anywhere feels that you're not tethered to stick to one to stick to one location. So if you're in somewhere where the fights are like too hard, it's like, fuck it, I'm just going to go elsewhere and find this other catacombs where this other undead thing can wake up and beat the absolute piss out of me. So, yeah, that's kind of about where I am with Elden Ring right now.
Cool.
Maybe I could see why it might be considered Game of the Year were it not for the fact that I also played Shredder's Revenge.
Ah, so did I. Well, yeah, let's get into that for sure.
Yeah, I played it this weekend thanks to the guys at a Voxel Voice. I joined their live stream. Sweet. Couldn't get my mic working at all. I played it with them, and the game's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Everything that you've loved about the old Turtles beat 'em ups, it feels in tune with this game. It was the controls are great. We had six players and didn't experience any kind of lag.
Oh, dude, like, let me tell you. Well, I'll be honest. Me, Verlaine, and Jack played it night one. Right, so the first day it came out, we all three played it, and we had a lot of bugs, to the point where we would just, you know how it, go to the next section or whatever you would go. Well, what would happen is like it would kick out Verlaine, and I could just see me and Jack, but Verlaine said it kicked out Jack, and he couldn't see, he couldn't see Jack. He could only see me. And then he said that it kicked me out and he can only see Jack. So it was weird. And I don't really know why it did that. Obviously, I'm guessing they probably cleaned that up by now. Hopefully. I mean, you played how many? Was it six you played?
Played six players.
Okay. All right. So then that's about the test, the extreme test that you need to kind of make sure that works, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's not going to get any harder than that, right? I don't know.
Pretty much. Yeah. I did have some of those like out of the box bugs. Like my screen would load up and I wouldn't be able to see any of the players. Like I'd see the Foot Clan.
See? Same deal.
Yeah.
Although I had like a weird cheat and I recorded it. Oh man, I should have uploaded it. Maybe I'll show you next week. I just now remembered it. So it was So Verlaine and Jack were both beating up on, I can't remember. I think it was who's the Triceratops?
I gotta think of
his name.
Yeah, the friggin' Dimension X guy. Yeah. The name's escaping my brain.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they were frozen on my screen. Okay. But I could still hit them. So like, so I'm hitting them and they're not, and I'm not getting hurt. So I pretty much took them out single-handedly, and they were like, you weren't even like around it. How are you hitting it? Like, you were literally standing in one spot. And I was like, yes, I know. I was standing in one spot. But yeah, so I don't know. There was a couple of glitches at least at the beginning, but man, yeah, I got to tell you, Mike, they nailed it. They did. They really did. And it's so funny because obviously the days like coming up to the release of that game, I mean, we were like, oh my God, this is the game. This is going to be awesome. This is going to be amazing, right? They nailed it. It was absolutely 100% what we all wanted, right? I mean, that was it. Oh,
definitely.
Yeah. Jimmy Holmes in the chat. What's up, Jimmy? Good to see hear from you, bro. Says Elden Ring was my first Souls like game I played. So there you go. So yeah. Anyway, Shredder's Revenge. Let's get back to that. Yeah, dude. Everything about the game is good. Obviously, the even the intro song, man. Like, it's so like, dude. I have a hard time fast forwarding, like skipping that to play the game. Right. Like, I'm listening. Teenage
Mutant. I mean, it hits.
Right? Oh, totally. It hits.
Well done. Like, even that Ghostface Killah song, I probably went back and listened to that like 18,000 times.
Oh, the Wu-Tang Clan. Yeah, dude, that was.
Yeah.
Man, they nailed that. I'm guessing. Did you get all the way through it?
Yes. No. I stopped about an hour in.
Okay.
And I want to go back and finish the other half because I was trying to get some achievements, like get hit on this stage or three times. And like the OCD in me kicks in, so it's like, no, I'm going to do it again.
Yeah. I was watching, who was I watching play? Oh, yeah, Nomad was playing it the other day. And I almost said, hey, I want to jump in. But whatever, no big deal. One of these days I will. One of these days I'll do that. But yeah, no, like I said, the game's awesome. It looks cool. It's everything that we want. I mean, the moves are pretty much the same, right? They didn't really stray too far as like the arcade Turtles games go, you know? And not only that, but if you notice, like when you're playing Bebop or fighting Bebop or Rocksteady, their moves are pretty much the same too. And I think that they got the kick. They got
Rocksteady hits me with that super kick, and it's like, oh, that's right in the feels.
And I'm like, oh, I remember that. Oh yeah, I should have saw that coming. The furthest I've gotten, I beat Baxter Stockman.
Oh, nice.
So I think that's level 13, I believe 12 or 13, something like that.
Yeah.
So that's as far as I've gotten. So yeah. In that game, because in that level, there's a lot of things that are flying, obviously flies, right? And Mausers, of course. But the right thing to do in that is to, we always play an Xbox, is hit A and X at the same time, and you do like the up kick. I literally did that. I literally spammed that the entire level, I think, and I got through it. Yeah, I mean, pretty much.
Because in the original Turtles game, that was always just kind of like the hard hitting move that just gave you a free knockdown.
Right.
I'm glad that they thought of like a good anti-air, because some of those old levels of like TMNT, the arcade game, when you had some of those airborne foot soldiers on those like helicopter gunner things, it was always hard to nail.
The hitbox was very fleeting. Yes, I agree. Yes. I agree.
And Baxter's first machine where he's flying around, it's like hard to get a read on that. Or like the fight against Krang and Turtles in Time, like you don't know where his hitbox is, so you're just kind of like flailing. And I like beating that game with Mikey, who's slow and sucks.
Well, I mean, see, Don has the furthest reach, I believe, but they said he's the slowest just because he's got the furthest reach. So that kind of makes sense. But yeah, Donnie's my dude, you know, obviously.
Easily.
But like, yeah, it's, yeah, the game's awesome. I have nothing really bad to say about it. I was actually looking. It's funny because, you know, we do the whole embrace the glitch thing and everything. I mean, other than those glitches that we had playing online. See, that's the glitches we had playing online. But I didn't have any glitches playing just by myself. You know, just playing the one player like playthrough. And I was like, oh man, I kind of wanted something to complain about just so I could say like, well, there was this one part. I got nothing.
Right?
It was so good.
They took the fun out of it by making their game fun.
Oh, right? Like, oh, man. Like, that was, they just nailed it. They, oh, jeez, man. They just nailed it.
Like, there's been some sweet-ass beat-em-ups I've been playing. Like, I loved Streets of Rage 4 and River City Girls. This one is probably the best one that I've played. And I think it's better than Streets of Rage 4. I don't know if that's a hot take, but, I think it's cooler than Rage 4. They've like nailed the nostalgia without it feeling old. Without it feeling like it's clinging too much to the past. Oh yeah, and also Battletoads 2020. I also like that one too.
There's got to be some kind of crossover. I would love, like, we were kind of talking about this the other night too. Like, how cool would it be to see like a Battletoads in the game or something like that? I don't know if a Rare would be about that, but. That would be kind of sweet, right? Or something. I don't know. Like, what else could it be?
Like, I feel like there should be a deal worked out where if you... Because since Rare is owned by Microsoft, and I don't know how hardball they like playing with Sony, like, that's something that they could make happen. Or something I was hoping for, and I know it's always been a licensing issue with the Turtles. I was hoping Usagi Yojimbo would be like DLC or something, but I know that it's tied up in rights. So
yeah, I mean, as far as like a good guy, I mean, hell, they have April fighting, so they could put Vern in there for all we know. But like,
April.
Oh God. Burn and Vern. Why did they do that? Anyway, it's so funny. I never like realized it until I was like playing this game and I was like, oh yeah, there's that thing. And then there's that chick from space, right? There's that, I can't remember her name.
Oh yeah.
It was later in the series. That's why I don't remember.
Yeah.
I'm aware of her.
Yeah. Triceraton was the,
Yes, that's it. Yeah, that's it. So, yeah, there's so much they could do with the game. I'd like to see more. Put the gargoyles in there. Let's just make this a 90s nostalgia beat 'em up arcade.
Well. If something like Smash Brothers can be the celebration of all gaming, let TMNT like bring in everyone. Throw the Ghostbusters in there. Throw like G.I. Joe or something.
It would have to be a fighting character, though. I don't know about Ghostbusters.
Well, yeah, that's a good
point. Well, maybe. That's how you look at it, I guess.
April's beating the shit out of you with the mic like she's Chris Jericho.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. Yeah, what? She's pretty tough, though. I'll tell you. They made her a pretty tough character. So, but that's cool. That's cool. So, okay. That's all I've been playing. Honestly, I've only played that game this week. So, and I'm not sad about it. I am not sad about it.
If you're going to burn your time into something, like this is the game to do
it. Yeah, might as well, man. I'm telling you. So, all right. So let's get into this. Cheating doesn't pay. And why doesn't it pay? Well, it turns out, you've heard of Team Ricochet, right? Ricochet, they're, I don't know. Organization with the Call of Duty people. In other words, they're just trying to get rid of cheaters, okay? And again, they're not banning these cheaters. They're just fucking with these cheaters. And I don't understand what's going on. Mike, you got to help me out here. It turns out that not only are they not booting these people out of the game, what they're doing is if they detect cheating, they take away their weapons and their ability to, you know, slappers. I like to say slappers like that.
Melee strike.
Right. Like, so they're still not banning these people. Why aren't they doing that? At least like they said at one point they've banned like over 180,000 cheaters at one point. That was like in February, but now they're not banning people anymore. They're just messing with them.
Is the idea that trolling is going to get them to stop? No. I don't think that works. Because at this point, you're almost feeding people to make like montages of this. So this is something that they could like put on their YouTube channels and like monetize. They can make a coin out of being screwed around with the developers.
Yes.
Like, as opposed to just blocking their account, stop them from playing.
Yeah.
Because you're not really doing anything much of a disservice unless somebody there in the offices are just kind of like getting their own jollies off. But in this case, trying to troll the troll is going to have the opposite effect.
I agree. The old adage, you know, two wrongs don't make a right, right? Like that's kind of what we're looking at here. Well, They're saying disarm is the latest tactic being implemented. When cheaters are detected, Ricochet anti-cheat simply takes away their weapons and prevents them from even punching using their fist. My mitigations are meant to keep cheaters in the game long enough to gather data that will help Team Ricochet stop them in the future while reducing their ability to impact the legitimate player's experience. But so...
Can that tech just be used to keep people from data mining games and like causing leaks?
Well, okay, so yeah, that's a good question. The question I have is, they're cheaters, right?
Yeah.
Can't they just get another weapon because they're cheaters?
That's like kind of what comes to mind. What in the game would stop the programming from having you pick up another weapon?
Right.
It would almost mean that they went into the code.
And I don't even mean pick up another weapon. I mean cheat. I mean like it appears in their hand again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if I was a hacker, if I was a cheater, I'd do that. Although to be honest, if you're a cheater, you're a loser. Right.
Oh yeah.
Because that's I don't. Why are you even playing video games? It doesn't make any sense to me. But then again, you know, we're old school. So like when it comes to like video games, we want the challenge. We want we want to claw and get out of what sticky situations. I don't know why I said it like that, but we want that, right? Like we want the difficulty. We don't want to be like, I win because I cheated. It doesn't what? Like okay, no, okay. Like, It's one thing to cheat in a game like Grand Theft Auto. Not online, offline, right? Because it's fun, right? You get every weapon, you get infinite ammo. Yeah, exactly. You could fly. You know, that's what you want. But okay, wait, what were you gonna say?
Yeah, with stuff like Game Genie. How often did we really use Game Genie growing up?
Yeah, I mean, I'll admit that I did use it quite a bit. I did. I enjoyed it. But again, I wasn't playing online against people. I was just playing in my bedroom, right? And just kind of having fun playing. I don't know.
And there's like people that they just kind of want to make like spam accounts to either like boost a rank, skip up ahead in rank, or in some instances, and I've actually heard people do this. This is something I didn't learn about until I began talking to people about fighting games. Paying someone to boost your account. What kind of a throw? What kind of a waste of money is that?
Yeah, that bothers the shit out of me, man.
It might be kind of like a Ryu of me, the whole war warrior mentality. Get by on your own talents. Get by on your own skill. That's the reason why these competitive games are popular, and why they're kind of the spiritual successor to coin op arcade games.
Jimmy sounded off about the cheats. Is this using cheats offline? I think it's okay because I like to play a game, beat it, and then try the cheats. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of what I'm saying. That's what you want, right? Like that's when you're like, okay, I beat the game, we're good, but let's do something crazy, you know, or do something different. I don't know. It's the same with like pay to win. Right. Like there's a lot of games out there. They're kind of pay to win. You got to you upgrade because you're paying to upgrade. So to me, that's sort of cheating. I think I don't know. Like I'm a big believer in playing like a mobile game and never spending a dime.
Yeah. I think I said it last week on the show. I've been playing King of Fighters All-Stars for like the last 3 or 4 years now. I haven't spent a penny on it. And I'm probably getting the same amount of enjoyment if I would than if I just like bought a $15 pack of gems and upgraded my character so that I can continue on with the story. And I'm also not even really against the idea of like those mechanics being in there. Like people yell at the game developers because you're price gouging and everything.
Yeah.
And you're sticking it to the customer, but you still kind of have free range to buy them if you want them.
Sure.
Like no one's twisting your arm for it. And I don't like, or even with like loot boxes and Overwatch stuff, like all that stuff's just cosmetics. So it's like significantly less harmful than like some of the stuff that would like give you a legitimate competitive edge.
I'm
trying to think of one on the top of my head. I don't know how the Dota games work on that, or for like things like League of Legends, right, for that. Yeah. But I grew up with Magic the Gathering, and that's like the original pay to win.
Sure.
Because some people played with like tournament illegal cards, and also the same thing with Yu-Gi-Oh! People were using banned cards left and right just so that they could win because they're unfucking balanced.
Right.
But if like you're the company and if you're discouraging not dropping the hammer on these, this is a case where like even Nintendo's dinosaur thinking of just completely bricking your Nintendo Switch would come into play. You cheat, your console doesn't work when you turn this game on.
Yep. I don't know, man. I don't know. This is one of the funniest parts, though, because like, of course, they're going to tell us. If you're looking forward to the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 or Warzone 2.0, I guess is what they're calling it, right? Everyone will be happy to know that Ricochet Anti-Cheat will be active on day one. it would be more news if they said it's not going to be active day one. Right? Right?
Like, yeah.
I don't
For that know. Matter, I would say we're deactivating it. Let the cheaters in, and then snare trap them.
I mean, that's kind of what they're doing, right? Like that's what it sounds like. I don't know. This is weird. This is weird.
Inmates running the asylum.
Oh well, yeah, that's for sure. Let's not stop there, okay? Because we go from one game to another, but we're gonna stick with cheating, okay? Because this is what's happening right now. So Destiny 2, which by the way, who fucking cares, right? But whatever, we're gonna talk about it. I just wanted to throw it out there for a second. A cheat distributor. That I don't even know if they're even calling it anything. Is it even a name? They're just saying that. Has agreed to pay Bungie $13.5 million because of their cheating software. Pretty much. This is I guess that's better, right? Because like it's one thing to focus in on the player that's using the cheat. It's another thing to shut down the companies that are making the cheats, right? Like that's cutting the head off the snake. That's not just, you know what I mean? Like I feel like that is the right way to do it. Although are they going to pay that $13.5 million? I doubt it, but at least they set a precedent, right?
Yes.
I mean,
That's like a means to compromise. It almost sounds, it's actually weird to kind of like relate it to this. It makes me think of how like Sonic Mania became a thing. It was this fan made thing using an IP, and Sega, instead of just like DMCA striking it, like, we'll buy this off of you and then we'll like redistribute it.
Yeah.
So with this, I think this kind of serves the best of both worlds. You get like the software that's used for this, and you can kind of implement this the way that Bungie would use this. This is actually money well spent.
I agree.
So,
yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. The name of the cheating is Elite Boss Tech. Ooh, that sounds legit.
Sasha Banks running.
It's Elite. Okay, so this is how they break it down now. This is very interesting to me. So obviously I said $13.5 million, you got that part. This is how it's calculated. It's based on the numbers of times Elite Boss Tech's cheating software was downloaded, 6,765 times. So the penalty goes $2,000 for each download. So that's, you could, about $13.5 million. That's very interesting. I mean, man, just think if it was 50,000 people. What did they? Oh man, that's a lot of cash. A lot of cash right there.
And some instances, they probably would have dodged a bullet, because if that number totals up too much, then
yep.
You're going to be asking Big Daddy Sony for a bit of a loan to pay that off.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. I did want to mention, so the if you watch the live version of the show, obviously, if you're watching right now, thank you. Hello, Jimmy and everyone else. If you're watching the live show, before the show, we always play a trailer, and usually a trailer that came out in the last week or so. At least I try. Sometimes trailers don't come out, and I do the best I can. But yeah, the trailer that I played this time around was the Entropy Center. To me, it feels like I'm in 100%. The game looks fucking awesome. It really reminds me of a Portal game without portals. Except it's not portals, it's the Time Stone instead. But it's a time rifle.
That matter, I almost thought it was Portal for a second. I thought it
has the same feel, right?
Yeah.
Totally.
Like, same gun, almost pretty much almost the same mechanics in use. Little robot mascot.
Yep.
And the kind of warehouse corridor level design.
Yeah, yeah.
That looks like something I can get lost in for hours.
Totally. I love a good puzzle game. So like, yeah, let's go. Whenever that comes out, I'm going to be on top of that. It looks like is it PlayStation exclusive? I think it is.
I believe it is. It might be a timed exclusive. Either that or
that's probably about right. Yeah. I mean, like, I never really heard of it until like a couple hours ago. So this is actually very exciting to me. And I want to learn more about it. So yeah, it looks good. It looks real good. So all right, let's get into some Overwatch 2. We're just gonna touch on it. Just don't worry. Don't leave us if you don't like Overwatch. We're just gonna touch on it. Reportedly. They're going to be adding MAGA as a new tank hero. Now, who the hell is MAGA? If you watch all of the cartoons or like the backstories of all the characters and stuff, this is MAGA, and it's with
Baptiste?
Yeah, Baptiste. It's like with the Baptiste. I'm guessing it's family. I think that's what it is, or whatever.
I think he's his good friend.
Either way, he's a big ass Samoan. We got that, right? I mean, that's kind of where we're at. Which is awesome. We do need some new characters. Obviously, they announced another character a couple weeks ago. So like, yeah. So now we're starting to get to the point where they're starting to promise new IPs and new like characters and stuff. That's good. This is what we want. This is what we want. This is progress, right? Because before all we got was like the Metroid logo, and that was it, right? but now we have actual some stuff to kind of look forward to, and it's about time. But honestly, man, thankfully they set this for free to play. Right. Like that was the right call.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
And I'm also glad it's a new tank.
Because
Junker Queen looks like she's going to be a melee fighter based off of what I read. Sojourn, I couldn't get a read on what playstyle she
feels like a sniper. Maybe.
Yeah.
Or DPS. I'm guessing one of the two.
Yeah, probably.
Definitely not. I wouldn't say a healer or a tank, right? Like, I would say either one of those two.
Yeah. So it's good that there's a new tank that's being added.
Yeah.
Because I can't remember the last new tank that was introduced, because like all the new characters before that were kind of like variables.
Oh, it was the rat, or not the rat, the rat. The gerbil, the
wrecking ball,
the wrecking ball.
Hammond.
I couldn't remember his name. There you go, Hammond. I believe that was the last one that they implemented in. So, I don't know. I want to see more, obviously. And I do know, like, it's free to play, but you have to own the first game, I believe. So you still have to buy the first game if you don't own it. I think that's
I still think it's pretty sweet. Like, you know, Overwatch, it's still an active game, so you're still you're paying at minimum what, like $29
Yeah.
For it. So you buy that and you automatically have access to not only everything that's been added since the Game of the Year and the Legendary Editions, mm-hmm. but you're also getting like the new maps that come along with Overwatch 2. Once they roll out new heroes, that's when like info for the game picks up. That's when people become a little more interested in the meta, because whenever they have those dry spells, no one's really talking about it. And like, sure, they'll like release a character patch and there's some nerfs and buffs, but you don't really get much going unless you introduce a new hero with something for people to grasp onto.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean by progress, man. Like, this is what you want. This is what we need to start hearing. We need to hear more of this. And they're gonna add more. They're completely gonna add more. And you know what? I won't be surprised if they take a few away.
Hey,
it could happen, man. It could happen.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I'm speculating, of course.
But I wouldn't really object to that. Yeah. Bye, Cassidy.
Oh, well, no, he's a new character, isn't
he? Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, whatever. It's his twin brother or something like
that. He's going to come in with another name change.
Poor Mercer. He's probably like, I don't know what my name is. Whatever. cool. Okay, yeah. I want to hear more. Every week I want to hear something new about it, because that means that they're definitely working on it and this could be something that could be great. So, you know, other than hearing that there's sexual harassment going on.
That story's not old hat or anything.
Oh my God, right? Yeah, so like I'm over that. I don't want to hear anything about that, but like, yeah, so...
Yeah. No, I don't support this game because of the things that I mean, like, and it's Overwatch, it's fun.
Yep.
I'll play it.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. All right, well, let's go to Star Wars. How about that? Recently, the Switch bestowed upon. How about that? The Knights of the Old Republic 2. Okay, and apparently, I haven't played it yet. I don't know. Have you gotten a chance to play the old Star Wars on the old Switch?
Oh, I have not tried that one out yet, no. But because I didn't play it initially, I am interested in trying this out.
Yeah, I mean, you remember the Switch, right?
Not like this. Not like this.
Yeah, Switch. Yeah. Poor Switch. Poor Switch. All right, so yeah, so apparently there the problem with the game, the reason why I'm bringing it up, is that there is apparently it's impossible to beat because there is a game breaking bug that they still need to be working on. Oh my God! This is the problem with. I want to say with Nintendo. I don't want to say it, but it's hard not to say it. Because like they try to take games that almost don't belong on a Nintendo, and they say, okay, let's just stuff it in this console and see how it goes. And it's just like it's almost like they don't do research, or they don't. I don't know, because we hear about this type of stuff more and more with the Switch, right?
Yeah, it's starting to show its age, and. Like, because the Grand Theft Auto trilogy, that was kind of a mess on every platform. Hit hard on the Switch, and KOTOR 2 here. It's like, all right, well, it's old enough tech. Wouldn't it be easy enough to get it to run on this platform?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it is. But you also want to optimize it so that it runs well. You don't just want it to run like the old way that it did. You would want to hope that you'd probably see like less graphical fidelity, a higher frame rate and a higher resolution, for a game that's what? It's talking about what, a 20 year old game at this point?
Yeah.
And the fact that they didn't search through like the source code in order to find this, because I looked it up. The other versions of the game don't have this problem. the ones on PC don't have to deal with this patch. And you've just got the Switch, but that's the other problem with the Switch. Because its install base is so destined that everything that comes to the Switch is going to be great, they're just going to fucking buy it anyway.
Yep.
So like, there's the Switch can do no wrong. See, we have Doom Eternal running on it. Great. Doom Eternal on the Switch looks like Gumby.
Yeah, I was going to say a half-assed Doom Eternal. Yeah, so... I don't know, man. This is stupid. Okay, so here's obviously people are on Twitter and they're complaining about it. Like this guy named Daniel, we'll just go with Daniel. He goes, he's one of the users who reported it before it was a known issue. He's like, just to be clear, you're aware that there is no way to complete the game currently. And Aspire, is it Aspire? I think it's Aspire. Aspire Media. It says, yes, we are aware and our dev team is working on delivering the patch as soon as possible. We apologize for the inconvenience and appreciate your patience in the meantime. So they're on it. Or, you know, we'll see how long that'll take.
They're hard at work at, you can't play. Like, when a Bloodstained first came out, it was that Koji Igarashi Kickstarter Castlevania Symphony of the Night game that I had backed. Week one, it had a game crashing glitch in it where all of the items and treasure chests disappeared if you saved at a certain point very early on in the dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
I got probably 8 hours into this game before I learned about this glitch. And when I went to load the game up, because that's what triggers it, it bricks the entire game, and you can't open any treasure chests or any doors for about a week. So even after the patch, I still had to delete all of my data and start all over again.
See, that's so terrible. Like they didn't think of that.
It's one of the we missed it. It's one of those things that comes up in like some of the retro conversations of, well, our games back then didn't need patches. We got the full games and they were great. Okay, but if you got a game that just fundamentally didn't work, like you were stuck with that game, it's cool that a game can be patched and fixed, but it's also an inconvenience that you just drop $60 on a game that's faulty right out the gate because a company rushed it to development just to meet a street date.
And that's what happens more than not. At least that's what it seems like.
There's like the same thing with like Tony Hawk 5. Half the game wasn't even on the disc, and it was like a buggy mess. Or Anthem. Anthem had
Derpy Eternal. I'm sorry, that was funny to me. Anthem, right? Dude, totally, absolutely. I don't know. It's just like another thing. Chalk it up to Nintendo, right? Because like you could blame the dev for this. But I don't know, man. I think this has everything to do with the console itself, at least in my opinion. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's just a platform, and it's going to continue to sell. They're not going to work on a better one. So this dirt old tech
they have a better one. It has a better screen, Mike.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's brighter colors, and it's an inch kind of long. Bigger.
Kind of.
So that makes it better. Congratulations.
It makes it more likely to scratch the screen now. Way more likely.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for that.
More target area. Perfect thing for a cat to swipe
exactly.
off.
Exactly. See? Yeah, I don't want this. Whatever. So all right. Let's go to the next thing here. This is interesting. I will tell you right now, I am not looking forward to Starfield. And I know that sounds weird, and there's millions of people out there, whatever, maybe tens of thousands, that are exactly, they're like, oh my God, how can you say such a thing? Because I'm getting a, and not just because it's space, but maybe a little bit, I'm getting a No Man's Sky vibe, that it's not going to be ready at all. They're going to push it back again. Yeah. But there was one thing that they had to talk about, which is funny, and I'm just trying to figure out why they even had to mention it, because, well, at the beginning, apparently, No Man's Sky has, like, a ridiculous amount, like some quintillion planets, right? Like, it's, like, the most ridiculous thing. All it is just, like, it loads different planets and different possibilities. That's all that is. Right. In Starfield, they're touting that there are 1,000 planets. Okay, which is a better number, I guess. I get it. Space probably has quintillion planets. I understand that, but yeah, it's a video game, so they have. But here's the problem. It doesn't mean that it'll have 1,000 planets worth of content.
No.
So the devs. It sounds like what the devs did is they made the planets one at a time. That sounds painstaking, right? So it to me, I'm guessing probably, I mean, I don't know, ballpark 60% of them are bare, are nothing. There's some ecosystem, there's some mountains and shit, but there's nothing else. So like, I don't know, man, this does not give me any like real like, ooh, I gotta get this game. Like, I really haven't had that feeling at all. And so I don't know. I don't understand why people have that feeling. Are you looking forward to this game, Mike?
The more I see of it, the less enthused I am. Mostly because I think I said this last week on the show. The second the animation started and the characters began moving, it looked just like old ass Skyrim and Fallout 4. So I know it's the same engine, and I know that they kind of like spruced up the visuals, but yeah, the action doesn't really look all that appealing. Mm-mm. And as far as traveling from like that many worlds, like, okay, I played Mass Effect Andromeda, and I think you could go from, I think it was like eight various worlds. It might've been more than that. It's been a while. And it's like, okay, consolidate where you can go and make what you can work. If you want to get 1,000 planets on there, and I'll play devil's advocate with this.
Yeah.
Maybe most of the planets out there that a ship could realistically, if NASA did land something on, and it's just like nothing, like it's like, oh, we want to get to Mars, but there's nothing on Mars except for just like red rock. If they're going for that, okay, you're pegging some kind of authenticity there. However, you set the bar this high for your game, your spacefaring game, and then you're going to go to a bunch of worlds that are just going to be kind of dead there. Well, how many hours are you going to spend running around on this world before you determine, oh, well, I just wasted my fucking time.
Right.
And then you just leave. So even if they just shrunk that number down to like 50 or 60, if you go there and if they feel robust enough, I think that would be rewarding
a little bit, like, sure,
but to just throw like a number like 1,000, it's 2022. Yeah. Do we really need big numbers like that to wow us?
Well, here's the thing, and not to take away the 1,000 number that they gave, but they're also counting the moons as planets.
Okay, that I didn't know.
Yeah.
That's even worse. you land on the moon, it's the surface of something. Okay, yeah, it's great semantics there, Todd.
Yeah, it's like a round rock. They should just name them, we have 1,000 round rocks, right?
Yeah, land here that. And they do that. In that case, God, almost the procedurally generated planets in No Man's Sky is almost welcoming. Yes. At least you don't know what you're going to get when you wind up.
I agree with that. But I mean, No Man's Sky has gotten so much better. It, actually, at where they are at this point is what we thought they were going to start at. So at least they've gotten there.
Yeah. It is. Think about where we've come with these. Like, No Man's Sky was going to be that magnus opus game that will tell you how big and how vast we can make these worlds. And now, like, and No Man's Sky, which was the butt of jokes, now it's done it well, and we've seen several other games try to do it since, and they can't do it.
No.
Like, Anthem, mentioning that again, that tried to capitalize on it. Destiny was kind of going for that with its various locations. I mean, Destiny wasn't like that kind of open world a sort of thing. It was just like pick a map and you go to it and loot and shoot. The Outer Worlds, Verlaine talked about it last week. It was trying to be that sort of like sci-fi.
Dude, I was so excited about Outer Worlds. I was just like, oh, it's like Fallout in space. It is not.
No, and it's a shame because I'm such an Obsidian fan, and it's probably because I didn't play Fallout or like New Vegas, the one that they considered like the best one ever.
Well, which is like, it was the best. Okay, it was the best storyline, I think, but it was the buggiest by far.
Uh-huh.
So, by far, it was the buggiest.
And there's the catch. Obsidian just wanted to like recapture the art of sci-fi dystopian storytelling, but the game itself, like I played it for a bit and just
it's ho hum.
It's good, yeah. But I'm not. It's not good because I'd forgotten where I'd seen a bunch of the articles. It was like The Outer Worlds renders Bethesda irrelevant. I'm not really a Bethesda honk or like a major fan of theirs, but that's a mighty bold statement. Whenever people will tout something as like the platform killer, because that never happens.
There was more times where I had a bunch of glitches in the game where like. It was like a character, an NPC that I was following, and he was like, come here, let me show you this. And then he goes into a room, and then I go to follow him, and the door shuts. Okay. And I can't get in the door. And he pretty much said, come here, I have something to show you. And I'm like, I hear you, but I can't get in. So like it happened more than once. There was another time where I was, I was battling someone, shooting somebody, right? And they were like behind a wall, right? And I can only see him through like a crack in the wall, and I literally had to put my gun right there and just wait till he got in front of it and then shoot him.
Oh my god.
So like, yeah, and it happened a lot. A lot, and it really, really kind of turned me off about the game. And I was so disappointed because I was so excited about that game, but yeah, whatever. So good luck, Starfield. We're rooting for you, but I don't know. I don't have a lot of confidence, man.
Not rooting that much. Even if it's competent, I'll give a slight golf clap.
Let me give you a little story. So, Starfield has a lot of promotion, right? Like you hear about it a lot. You watch a YouTube video and there's a quick trailer before it. You're on TV, you see it, right? It just so everyone knows, that is a red flag. If you see a video game with too much promotion, or a movie, take the new Jurassic World, for example. I haven't seen it, but I've heard nothing but bad shit about that movie. And there was fucking advertisement out the ass with that movie. So just do yourself a favor. If you see or hear advertisement about something over and over and over, take note. I bet you it's going to be bad. You heard it here almost first. Always.
Morbius.
Yeah. Great point. Great example.
They tried making a big deal out of Morbius. Nope. It's going to be the thing. Oh, it was a thing, all right.
It was a thing, I guess. Yeah. So, I don't know. Good luck, Starfield. Hopefully, you guys don't push it back anymore. That's the other red flag. Every time they push it back, if you push it back once, okay, that's fine. You're just kind of like, you know, cleaning stuff up. Cool. But you start pushing it back years and years and years. Metroid, hello.
Right.
I'm out, man. I'm out. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Like the game's development cycle was almost as long as the life of like the Xbox One.
Yeah.
So you now have old tech that you want to try and get to run on new tech. There's right. going to be problems.
Yeah. Yep. And you can't avoid it. It is what it is.
So I don't know what they're going to. Let's again. Everyone mid expectations, mid level.
Yeah.
Like
at best.
I'm surprised hype works that way. I mean, I know we talked about Shredder's Revenge, and I meant to ask, when was the last time like major hype like that for a game was around and it worked on you?
You mean like it was actually a good game? Is what you're saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to think about that. Let me think about that.
Man. Because like the last time I thought that kind of pomp and circumstance for a game that came out and met expectations, like Super Mario Brothers 3. Like,
yeah. I mean, I could almost say Fallout 4. Almost?
Yeah.
Maybe. It's close. Yeah, it's close. I don't know. I don't know. I know what you're looking for, so I don't know if it's at that level though. So that's why
I hear such like a mixed bag about Fallout 4, but yeah. I think from what I've seen of the game itself, it looks like it's phenomenal.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's you know, like that. It wasn't Breath of the Wild. I know that people like to honk Breath of the Wild's horn, but no, it's the most overpriced 7 out of 10 game on the planet. Cyberpunk crashed and burned right out the gate.
Well, you know what? There's one right there. They promoted the shit of that, and also I'm glad you brought that up because they also pushed that game back 5 times, I think. So
yeah,
I mean that should tell you everything you need to know. That game was broken from the get-go.
I've heard they fixed a lot of bugs, but I'm still not interested in going back, even at the low cost that it is. Yep. Like, I think I played a little bit of it, and it's okay.
Jimmy, you're right. It did crash and burn even before it got to the race.
it was
already done. You're done. Yeah, just sit out this one. Real quick, I just want to at least bring this up. So apparently during an anniversary stream for Capcom, they did reveal that Dragon's Dogma is getting a sequel. I am not excited about that. Are you excited about that, Mike?
Dragon's Dogma's been so out of like relevance for so long. I completely forgot it was a thing. Mm-hmm. I like it's still in development. Okay, but show, don't tell.
The director said, quote, sorry to have kept you waiting.
I'll give them a little benefit of the doubt. Man, I'm being more merciful than I should be nowadays. Capcom was going through a pretty rough patch the last time Dragon's Dogma was a thing.
It's true.
They were bleeding financially. They needed other companies to pay for their games to exist, like Street Fighter V. So maybe now that they've made some coin with the success of like Resident Evil and such and Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. But like, I don't know. To bring back an IP that old, I don't know. There's a lot of games that we've been promised. Oh, what was the one game that we've been promised, but we haven't seen it at all yet? They even had a trailer at one point. It's something with the James was all about it. It was like gorillas or it had some kind of orangutans or something like that.
Oh my god, dang it, that's right on the tip of my tongue too.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Like I can't.
Yeah. Oh crud.
Yeah, but I mean we had about 2 years of trailers, right? They were pumping it. I haven't heard anything in years. I haven't heard anything.
Beyond Good and Evil?
Oh, that's it. Beyond Good and Evil. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
it. Yeah, like you remember all the trailers, right? They even showed gameplay. They were like, check this out. I mean, I remember talking to our old producer James. He was just like, dude, this is awesome. I love that game back in the day. And because of his like excitement, I actually went back and played the original just because I've never played it before. And then I realized, oh yeah, this is an old game. I have to be okay with like old stuff. And it was fine. It was like whatever. But like I think like if I played it at the time, I would be like, yeah, this was like a really fun game. But it really wasn't that fun, so like it didn't really get me excited anyway because of that.
Yeah, it's like something that had promise to it, and I had mixed feelings about the trailer. It was a lot more gruff than I expected it to be, but it's like, hey, it's something different. I'm looking forward to this. This is an IP that we haven't heard from for ages.
But that's the problem, though. That I think that's the problem, especially with marketing. You know, it's one thing as far as the Ninja Turtles game, because, you know, there's been games throughout the years, but like to bring back an arcade game like it was back then, they were not marketing that game to children.
Okay? No.
They were marketing that game to us. you know, 35 plus. That's what they were marketing it to. And it's perfect. It's the right time. They nailed it. Everything about it, they nailed it. But then there's games like that, Beyond Good, Bad and Evil. What is it?
Beyond Good and Evil.
Good and Evil. That was Bad and Evil, whatever. There's not a lot there. Because I don't know a lot of people that remember that game. Which means a lot of people don't remember that game.
Yeah, like even the first game's development was kind of like hell, for that matter. Yeah. It was like a critical success because people liked it, but the game sold poorly.
Yes.
And it was just rife with like development flaws and countless delays, and delays will hurt a game in any era.
Yeah.
And it looks like that's kind of what's happening with this one too.
Yeah.
And yeah. Ubisoft, they're really kind of stretching like expectations here, because Prince of Persia Remake, that's indefinitely on the shelf.
Yeah.
They don't have any, they don't have a staff for it.
Yeah. They already pulled it. It's not coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. The Splinter Cell remake. I'm expecting to hear news about that one just ending up as paperware too.
Come on, really? You think that's going to be a good game? There's no way that's going to be a good game. There's no way.
I don't trust it. No,
of course you don't, because you have a brain. Yeah,
it's like, oh, cool, Splinter Cell's back, and then it's like, oh, look at who's
here's the deal. Here's the deal. Let me ask you this: did you miss Splinter Cell?
Not really.
No, of course you didn't. That was my point. Of course you
didn't. It's one of those things that people will like hear, and kind of like a dog whistle goes off in their head, and then they just go, ooh, I want this. It's just like Twisted Metal. No one talks about Twisted Metal until you like until it comes to a conversation, and then you think you miss it.
Yeah.
But did you?
But they're coming out with a movie starring Chris Pratt, probably. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Chris Pratt is Sweet Tooth, probably. Baby. Give it to although I do remember the casting for that said Samoa Joe was going to be Sweet Tooth. That's actually badass.
I'd be cool with that. Yeah, I'd be just fine with that. Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, nobody really wants, like, a game. Or like, okay, so I've clamored for years that I wanted a new, like, Tenchu Stealth Assassins. It was, like, one of my favorite PS1 games. I loved that game. Mm-hmm. But now, there's so many indie games that make, like, stealth titles and everything. Do I need this old IP?
It would get lost. I agree. Maybe it's not the right time right now. Because the Ninja Turtles arcade game was almost... what, 5 years before that? 10 years before that? They need to wait another 5 or 10 years before they can even let that out. Because, again, that would be a game that you would market towards, you know, people our age or maybe a little younger than us. About, you know.
Yeah, you'd like want to hit a crowd that's, like, nostalgic for it. Like, I mean, people consider, like, Mega Man the mascot of Capcom. But is he really... I mean, it's like, and Mega Man's funny because around the like early 2000s, no one was really all that nostalgic for him. For that matter, people were burned out because his like last couple of games were pretty garbage.
Yeah.
It wasn't until like Inti Creates had developed like Mega Man 8 and 9 around 2009, 2010. And that's just enough time for the people who was nostalgic for it in the early 90s. To kind of have it like clamoring for it.
Yeah.
The same thing happened with like Resident Evil. When people saw the development of Remake 2, that's right around that time where like the late 90s was like something to be hungry for. Also the same thing with Spyro and Crash Bandicoot.
Yep.
Like games from that period of time is something that people would kind of want. So if companies like Konami were smart, they'd kind of like strike for a Silent Hill anniversary, and which is what I think they're planning to do. But like games from like the early mid 2000s, like Prince of Persia, like I kind of missed it, but at the same time, I got burned out because the franchise was so shoved down our throats.
Yeah, the movie.
Yeah,
I don't know. Whatever. Good on Capcom to bring out Dragon's Dogma. Something we don't really need.
I'll probably give it a try, but I
you will. Don't lie. You're Capcom.
I'm a mark.
You are a Capcom mark. All right. This is has anything to do with video games, but I don't care. I'm going to mention it at least. Goodbye, Internet Explorer. Don't let the doorknob hit you in the ass on the way out. That's that's what I say. So Microsoft it's Microsoft, right? Whatever. Yeah. They're finally actually retiring the browser that no one fucking uses other than downloading Google Chrome Internet Explorer. I mean, that's really what it is, right? Like the only time I've ever used Internet Explorer was to download another browser. Like that was it. And then every once in a while I'd get into my email and it would bring that up and be like, "No, go away."
Right. God, hell, I was using Internet Explorer like almost unironically up until probably like 2017 or so, because like, I feel like that was a thing. And the only reason why was because I've got Spectrum and my email information, my login information was stuck on that. I couldn't get it on the Google for whatever reason. So that was the only reason why I kept like Internet Explorer around as long as I did. But around the time that I'd started making like videos and such, it would just crash on me. So it's like, can I please get this out of here?
Yeah.
And then there's terrible. Like Microsoft Edge, which I also don't use. I use Edge to download Chrome.
That's it. That's exactly it. Yeah. Edge. It might as well just be the new Internet Explorer. That's it.
Pretty much.
It should only have that ability. That's it. You can only go and download another browser.
Like I thought about turning on the Xbox 360 to see if it still uses Bing.
Bing. Remember Bing? You know who's a big believer in Bing?
Crosby?
Berlane.
Really?
Yeah. At one point. I don't know anymore. We'll have to ask him. Remember to ask him next week. Like, hey, do you like Bing still?
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah,
he loved it.
everything has that one
Bing. Well, he liked it because like when you look things up, it gave you points and shit. But I don't understand what the points were used for. So I never really got into it. But like, yeah, he really preferred it. But I
interesting.
Yeah, no thanks. No thanks.
Yeah, I used it mostly by accident, or like another like software provider that I had just had it on there as like the default. But I always just went with what I knew.
Yeah. All right. This is completely unrelated to video games, but it's fun. And it's weird and scary. I at the beginning of the show I mentioned Nerf. Remember we were talking about it's Nerf or nothing, right? Well, they have a new slogan. They do. Or a catchphrase, whatever you want to call it. It's unleash the play in you. Unleash the play in you. And not only did they come up with a new catchphrase, but now they have a mascot, I guess. And his name is Murph. And if you're watching this show live, I'm going to show you a picture. If not, please look it up. It is worth it. But if you're watching it live, brace yourself. This might give you nightmares.
Oh my God. Okay, so that explains what was circling around on my Twitter feed. I thought that was a joke.
Nope, it's real. It's no sex. It's not a female or girl, or if you're female or male, female or girl. It goes by they/them. Right, that's what it identifies with. It's non-sexual, not pansexual. That's what it is, pansexual. And it's just a thing, whatever, covered in darts, Nerf darts, pretty much.
It looks like something that washes your car.
Great example. I agree with that. Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe Gritty from the Philadelphia Flyers can like beat the crap out of it one night.
Do they need a mascot?
It's you're okay.
They make plastic guns that shoot styrofoam. Well, not styrofoam. What are they? We'll just call them Nerf. Fine. Nerf darts, right? Like, do we need...
Yeah, like, your guns sell the product itself. Like, maybe the idea is to move away from the gun-shaped toys and try and present a more family-friendly life. Like, nothing about that's just family-friendly. That looks like something. Remember that movie with Fred Savage and the monsters under the bed?
Little Monsters.
Little Monsters?
Little Monsters, yeah.
I just watched
it pretty recently, actually. It's a great movie. It didn't age well, but it's a great movie.
Oh no. it's kind of terrible.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. But it's fun. Like if you're as a kid, like if I ever have a child, we're totally watching that cuz it's fun and it's like it's a little creepy, but it's not. It's just kind of I don't know, it's silly. It's definitely memorable as a child. But
oh like, yeah, it's
but if you watch it as an adult, you're like
it's certainly that period where like a PG movie could get away with more than they could get away with now.
Yeah.
I think that replacing a kid's apple juice with piss is probably not going to fly.
That's not a great thing. Not a great thing. But anyway. All right. Go Murph. Go Murph. Go. Yeah. Go clean some cars or something. I don't care. Hey, can I borrow a dart, Murph? Does he talk like Cousin It? That's what I like.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Is he just gonna break through the walls in commercials? Like, okay, now I'm now looking forward to seeing commercials from this now at this point because, like, try and present this thing and not make it terrifying.
I know it looks like a demigorgon.
Right. Like, it doesn't even have googly eyes.
It doesn't have any eyes. That's what makes it creepy. Like that. Oh yeah. Anyway, all right. Let's get to the next thing. Let's go. Unless you got any more video game stuff, I got some movies stuff.
I got to throw my retro reboot out.
Oh
there.
Yes, thank you.
My retro reboot. It's one that hits a little close to home. It's Double Dragon 5: The Shadow Falls. The first. Yes, this was one of the only few fighting games from the Double Dragon franchise, and it's based off the cartoon from 1993.
Sega! It's true.
It's a not very glorified Street Fighter ripoff. But
there you have it. Well, look for that tomorrow on the website gamefixshow.com. Mike usually get up there between noon and 1 o'clock. Yeah, so go check that out. All of his retro reboots are awesome, and they are timeless. You can go back and look at those at any point. So do that, gamefixshow.com, for show. All right. Now, Joker is getting a sequel. And
didn't
it's
happen.
What's up, Dagon? So Joker is getting a sequel, okay? At least this is what was announced. What I'm about to say is not even the crazy part, okay? Lady Gaga, reportedly, going to be playing Harley Quinn. I'm not mad about that. I actually think Lady Gaga's a pretty good actor. I think she is. I think she's got chops, man. So, like, and that's fine. She's got the, you know, she's a front woman, right? Like, she's got that. She could do that. She could totally be Harley Quinn. I don't know. I mean, she's got to have the accent, but she does. She's Italian, right? So she could totally do that. She can put that on.
Yeah. Like, yeah. She can squeeze a bit of a Jersey accent.
Yeah. It's fine. It's easy enough. But that's not the crazy part, okay? That's actually the part that makes me happy. I was like, oh, okay. I'd look forward to that for sure. Get Margot Robbie out. I think we're done with her. Can we move on from this? Yeah, anyway.
It's overkill with her.
Yeah, so... it's going to be a musical? Wait a minute. Like a musical? Like, what are we talking about here? Like, every once in a while they sing? Or is it all in his head? Because then I'm like, okay, so he's just crazy. Okay. Well, not, excuse me. Mentally, what's the word?
Unstable. Asperger's.
I wasn't going to give him the actual thing, but yeah, mentally unstable. That's fine. For those out there that are, I just want to be respectful. That's all.
Like, with the first movie, I know that people think that they hit on something, but realistically, I think that people got lost with like the regular Joker movie. People got so captured in Joaquin Phoenix's performance that it made up for a film that was ultimately very boring.
It was all about mental illness. I mean, that's pretty much what the movie was about. I mean, yes, it was about the creation of Joker, if you will, origin story, I guess. But like, it was about mental illness. That's what it was about.
Yeah. And like that in and of itself isn't too bad. I guess if you wanted to say that this was falling down with like a DC character slapped in front of it, by all means.
Falling Down was such a great movie. Oh, that's
Loved it. And funny thing, I actually watched that for the first time like a couple of years ago because I'd never seen it growing up.
Oh my god, it's so good.
God, excellent performance from Michael Douglas.
Oh yeah, when he walks into the fast food and he wants breakfast and he missed it by like 10 minutes and he's got an Uzi. Right. Yeah, well, you know.
I'm actually glad that I watched that movie as an adult because I can now relate. So
except for the Uzi part, but yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I'm not, that's not going to happen.
And of course, the iconic scene of him looking through the hole in the bottom of his shoe. You know, like, right. Anyway, okay, let's get back to Joker. We're getting
So like if they're planning on like crossing the streams with this Joker, and
you said crossing the streams was bad.
Yes, like and then what's happened is that the second what's going to happen is that if we put Robin Pattinson and Joaquin Phoenix's Joker in, then life is just going to accelerate at 1,000 miles times the speed of light, and then we all disintegrate. Mm-hmm. I'll be interested in it. If there's anything that I'll give DC, they're at least trying weird, different shit with their movies.
I mean, now they are. I mean, Black Adam, the trailer they came out just recently with Black Adam looks halfway decent. I'm like, okay, I'm in. Now, again, this is a musical, and it will be starring Lady Gaga. So, I guess there's that, right? And Joaquin Phoenix was Johnny Cash, right? So...
yeah, it's going to be well performed at the very least.
Yeah.
Like I'm looking forward to seeing the tonal whiplash from this.
That's a good movie too, by the way, Whiplash. Anyway, but that's here nor there. Here nor there. Yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed the first one. It was very disturbing. You know, I think that's it was like cause you left the theater and you kind of just felt dirty. Right?
Yeah.
You felt like oof.
It was very, very, very Malden in tone.
Yeah. Well, to each their own.
What happens?
Do you want to talk about Ezra Miller? I don't really care, to be honest.
It's weird.
Go ahead, make it quick.
the only thing I'll say real quick.
Warner Brothers has what $200 million, like wrapped up, like with him. So they can't really push him away, right? That's kind of where they're at. Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
It's like, I don't know. If this is the only movie they have him signed on to, they can try and push this through theaters and hope that they can like salvage something from it, because the longer this movie gets delayed, it becomes more of a curse. Like the pandemic cursed this film probably harder.
If something gets moved back, then it's probably going to be bad. I feel like we just said that at some
point. it's almost like that's a very flawed theory.
Yes, interesting.
Games like Devil's Third would like to have something to say about that.
Yep.
Or I don't know, delaying a third Ghostbusters movies until after you know one of your actors and writers dies. I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter. Stupid Bill Murray.
You don't sound like it at all. Yeah.
With this one, like, because I was interested in Flashpoint. Flashpoint, before the Snyderverse completely crumbled apart, was supposed to be the movie that would kind of like offer a bit of a soft reset to whatever DC's vision for their like movies are. Since there isn't going to be like any like movie continuity to it, so now because Miller's become a basket case, it feels like this movie is going to be even more pointless than ever, unless it's just one last hurrah for Batfleck.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, based on what I know, like most, I believe it's just in post-production now. So now we just need a release date, but now it's almost a PR nightmare with an individual that they can't find.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
And it also feels like a lot of the publications and Warner Brothers are just trying to cover this up. Like it feels strongly that they're trying to cover any details up from this, and they're just hoping that it just blows by. But this guy's making it worse.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Just like Aquaman 2, Flashpoint is cursed. I'll still probably check both of them out though.
Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah, I got no opinion on the matter. I just hope he's well enough to do the role. Just leave it at that.
I actually like this Flash. Okay.
All right, so okay, well then there's one thing left to do. If you haven't seen episode 5 of Obi-Wan Kenobi, this is your warning. We will be talking about this episode. I forgot.
Hello there.
Okay, here we go. Okay, episode 4, obviously, if you listen to last week's episode, I completely ripped it apart. If you haven't heard my rant about episode 4, you should probably go back and listen to that, because it was kind of epic. I think it was. I don't get that emotional about things, but I was very emotional about that, and because I fucking hated it. Episode 4 was a terrible, terrible episode, but we're moving on to 5, so okay. Okay. Now, with saying that, episode 5 has sort of, kind of, blah, 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 brought me back. Because of one scene. One scene only. And it's the scene where Vader uses his forced unleashed powers, if you will, brings down the ship. You notice there's no ship behind it? You notice? Anyway. Brings down the ship, and then he just rips apart the ship like it is like a tin can, right? I mean, that's the best way to describe it, right?
Yes.
And then that was the fake ship, and then the real one just flies away, and for some reason he can't bring that one down. Okay, that's fine. I'll suspend my belief. That's fine.
I used up all my mana points.
Yeah, oh yeah, I don't have any more. Yeah, whatever. That by far was one of... It's so funny because episode 4 was the worst live action Star Wars anything I've ever seen in my life, okay? Episode 5 had one of the best scenes in any Star Wars thing I've ever seen in my life. Because that one scene of Vader taking down that ship, it was so badass. Because this is what everyone wants to see. When you think of Star Wars, you think of what? Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Darth Vader, right? Chewie is there, but no, it's those three, right? Am I missing another one? I think it's like that's it, right? Like that's what you think.
Yoda is like your.
I guess Yoda. You could say Yoda, maybe, but like those three are like what makes Star Wars, right?
Yeah. And
to see Darth Vader do his thing, because keep in mind, you know, back when they did the original one. You know, the movie effects weren't as good as they are today. So we actually got to see something that looks pretty legit as far as, you know, the Force goes. But yeah, I don't know. I think it was cool. And then we got to go to... Do you want to talk about that real quick? Because I'm going to go to the next scene.
I won't prattle on too much about it. Yeah. I think it was probably one of the coolest things done with the Force since Kylo Ren stopped a laser beam.
Oh, that's fair. Absolutely. Yeah.
I thought, okay, finally Vader looks like the menacing force that we kind of knew to fear him as in episodes 3 through 6. Mm-hmm. So it was good that he had that. And like I think it was 2 episodes ago, I was complaining about why Anakin why Obi-Wan was so terrified of him. And because that didn't make a lot of sense to me. It's like, okay, it's been years. He doesn't really practice the Force that much. So Obi-Wan's just now getting back in the form. So it would make sense for them to be unequal.
Sure.
As opposed to when like the last time they fought and they were like even. So now and also cross with some of the flashbacks about Anakin being determined to win. I got angry for a second. Because why couldn't that have been Anakin's motivation instead of making the stuff about Padme and losing Padme being his fall to the Force? Why couldn't it just be dreams of grandeur or like a lust for power or thinking that his right way is through nothing but unbridled order? Why couldn't we get that instead of the stupid sappy love story that we wasted our time with? Because when you watch things like this episode and Rogue One, that's the Vader that people want to remember.
Well, because the early 2000s is that's what it was about. It was about, okay, let's make a movie, but there has to be a love interest. You know, like there has to be some kind of love story. We're past that now. Thank God. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. We're past the whole rom-com stuff. There are some rom-coms and shit out there and everything. But when it comes to like an action flick, you know what I mean? Like there might be like a love interest, but there's not like, it's not what this thing is about. It's like a secondary thing. And that's where we need to be. And I think that's kind of what it is now. I don't know. It's
it works because it now feels like that there's stakes at least. And you can't do that if you're just kind of centralizing things around a love scene. That works for Titanic, but Star Wars, it just didn't really fit. So you finally see Vader as like ruthless, unpredictable, and borderline unstoppable. He should have just been like the T-1000 tearing through any kind of extradition to like get his to like get what he wants, and that was just being a bully for the Empire.
Yeah. Now I have a question for you. Now, did you enjoy the flashback between Anakin and Obi-Wan?
Kind of half and half.
Okay, explain yourself.
So they don't the flashbacks don't really tell us anything that we don't either already know or things that were like vaguely assumed when Obi-Wan and Anakin are having their like adventures in like Attack of the Clones and such, because every time they talked about like their great heroics, it was always like this like upbeat reminiscing of like, ah yes, remember when we had battled on Daigon 6 and it was remarkable. And now we kind of throw these flashbacks here where like we're seeing a kind of slightly more conflicted Anakin. Based on what timeline this, like, is this supposed to be after Attack of the Clones, where he's like murdered the Sand People that killed his family?
I think,
like, because I couldn't pick that up because Obi-Wan's still calling him a Padawan. But if he's still a Padawan after the like rescue from the Jedi, after Attack of the Clones when they were stuck on that planet in that like rock coliseum, then this doesn't make any sense. So. There's some continuity things. I know why they did it, to get the scenes from point A to point B.
But I'm waiting for that. But it was good to see Hayden Christensen back, right? It was good to see it.
Yeah.
He's still a shitty actor. Okay. He hasn't learned much. And it just didn't look. He looked old, and so did Obi-Wan. Yes. I don't know, like they, it kind of pulled me out. It kind of pulled, like, I was like, wait, was this like last week? No, wait, no, it's camp. Wait, no, like that's what I kept like trying, like arguing with myself about it, and I was just like, oh, this is like way back when, or something, or of that sort.
Yeah, like they didn't even like CGI his face up to like because he just looked tired.
Yeah.
Like it's very like probably not since like Blade 3 where Wesley Snipes has the look on his face like I'd rather be anywhere else but here filming this movie.
Yeah.
And yeah, it didn't help much. And that's also what, cuz like if the idea was to make him look more strained and like conflicted, I mean, mission accomplished, but Jesus Christ, get some computer animation on his face. If you can, if you can digitally de-age Arsenio Hall for Coming to America 2, we can't make Hayden Christensen look like 15 years younger with Disney money?
I don't know. It was weird. Like I said, that scene kind of brought me out of it. I was just like, all right, that's fair, I guess. I mean, I get it. Although it makes me think. This will bake your noodle for later. Do you think that Anakin was always a good guy, but he did all this bullshit just to get close to Palpatine so he could take him down?
I'm going to call half and half.
Okay.
I think that
Verlaine would be like, "There's no, that's not possible." Whatever.
He wasn't thinking that far in advance. I feel like Anakin was a greedy, short-sighted moron who was looking for a quick fix to all of his problems. And like, so even going back to like episode 3 when like Palpatine is coercing him. I mean, they say coercion, but it's like coercion the same way you get a dog to come into the house with a biscuit. You tell someone that you have the ability to do things with the dark side of the Force. Anakin is so thick-skulled that he doesn't think about that for a split second.
No.
Even being told that only the Sith deal in absolutes. This guy is telling you to embrace the dark side and you can't see this coming a mile away.
Yeah, I know.
He's kind of a brain-dead character. If they just made him like a power-hungry sociopath, I'd probably be happier
It'd probably be better. All right, let's talk about Reva. Obviously, she's trying to prove herself. There's still some good in her, right? I think that's kind of like what we're feeling, right? And Obi-Wan can feel it too. Obviously, he has the Force. He can feel that, and he offers her kind of a way out. Like, I'm going to distract him. You do your thing. We could take him down together. And she pretty much doesn't answer him, but Obi-Wan knew what she was going to do. So, but the problem with that was, she waited way too fucking long. Like, why didn't she do it as he was like pulling the ship down?
You're actually going to run up behind Vader and try and like one-on-one duel him when he's not preoccupied. Like, you could see the face turn coming for this character.
Yeah.
But all I'm thinking is you're cannon fodder. Like, you did all of this for so... And even when they went to her flashbacks, this is another character that doesn't really make a great deal of sense for me. Because they cut to her being one of the younglings that are cut down during Order 66. Or
that wasn't cut down, right.
Yeah, she laid down and hid amongst the bodies. And I get that... But the problem with the execution is she's tied so close to like the Sith and the Sith training that it either means that Vader was playing her like a fiddle or she really did just have this turn at the last minute. This character would have been better off neutral instead of aligning herself with the stupid Inquisition, the worst villains on the planet. She should have just been like, I don't know if you're familiar with Arden Lynn. She's a character from the books and the comics that was like another one of like Anakin's wayward apprentices who like went crazy and wants to like kill Han Solo and Luke. And that's what I thought they were doing with her. But you've been a lapdog for the Empire for this long, and then you're surprised when your grand coup fails. It wasn't even like she turned anybody else in like the Empire against them. She was going to single-handedly take down Vader.
Which makes it so stupid, because that scene itself makes her look stupid, because not only did she have no chance, like not even like you know how you do like a simulation of like two, I don't know, whatever, you know, okay, take a Madden simulation, right? You get two teams, you put them together and you make them play 1,000 times, and then you get, like, you know, the one team won 32% of the time, or whatever, you know, whatever it is, you know. She had zero. She would have 0%. There is no fucking way she was going to take it. A, because we knew he was still alive. But B, because she's just not strong enough. I mean, he took her down without a lightsaber.
Yeah.
And she had dude, he took her down with, like, just the Force. I mean, he literally stopped and threw her a lightsaber to be like, all right, let's make this fair, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, let's see what you got. But in that moment, I was really thinking, man, she really hates him, right?
Uh-huh.
Isn't that a good recipe for a Sith? Hate?
Let the hate flow.
Why? And instead of killing her, or at least stabbing her, because obviously she didn't die, why didn't he just say, I want you as my apprentice because you have this rage and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I don't do a very, very good Vader. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was waiting for that. I was waiting for him to, like, take her under his wing, like, legitimately. And it would have totally made sense. I'd have been like, okay, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it's like, oh, you're perfect. I remember you, and I saw the fear. And the fear is what I had in my eyes.
Exactly. He could relate to all of that. And that's why I was just like, why didn't he just offer her like, I don't know.
So stupid. Right. Or maybe, like, coerce her, because, I mean, Anakin, Obi-Wan did totally use her. He used her to buy time. So he could have fed on that for, like, being, okay, these two Jedi assholes used me as a puppet, so maybe I should destroy Obi-Wan. He tricked me. He left me here to die.
Yep.
Like,
well, so, now you don't have to worry about that, because now he's going to Tatooine.
Yes,
that's where Luke is, right? Tatooine.
Yeah.
All right. Now she's going there to pretty much kill Luke, right? That's, like, her thing, because that's what he was sensing, right? That's kind of what I got out of it. Like, is there something wrong? He's like, no, he's obviously lying. There's something wrong, because he was getting her back to Alderaan. Alderaan.
These names are blending together.
Who cares?
Alderaan.
I was close. That's fine with me. Whatever. Okay. I trust me. I'm happy with that. But so obviously this episode won't have Vader in it, right? Like, we're done with Vader now, right? Because he's not going to die. Pretty much. There shouldn't be a fight at the end. And he goes and he's got to kill Reva. Even though she was stabbed again. Why are we stabbing with a lightsaber? It never made any sense to me. Why don't you just fucking slice, man? It'll cut through anything. You
can hack people's heads off.
I know, like, clean off. So instead we're going to stab? But, like, when you stab, doesn't it cauterize?
Yes, it's like you're just kind of flesh wounding them. Yeah. So unless it was Vader's intention to leave her alive so that she would eventually do her dirty work, she's clearly going to fail. Spoiler.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because we all know Luke lives. So that's why I have kind of a problem with the show, and whatever, it is what it is. And thankfully, there's one more episode left.
By the time this is over, I'm not quite sure what questions they've answered with it. Like, I'm glad that there were.
If they do a second season, they're gonna ruin canon, dude. They're gonna ruin it.
Yeah,
you know it. It's gonna be like fucking the Marvel show, the agents, agents, agents.
Oh yeah, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It was like the first season or so was like canon, and then it was like, fuck it, we're not doing that anymore.
And then they just kind of made up a bunch of shit.
That's weird.
And it's like, well, will this tie into other things? And it's like, no, we're just padding because they honored a second season. So here you go.
I don't know.
Like, all right. So
I'm done talking about Obi-Wan. Whatever. This damn show. I can't wait till it's over.
It's
not
it's,
a big fan.
It's so mid tier. It's just very so mid.
Thank you, MJF. It's very mid. All right. Thank you to Mike. I guess I could thank Mike. Thanks for everyone watching, especially Jimmy, Dagon. We really do appreciate it. We do this every Monday night, 9 o'clock. Verlaine is not here. If you guys don't know, he's doing some stuff with the family. It is Father's Day week. And still ish, so they're doing something fun. I don't know what it is, and I don't really care. So, as far as I know, he'll be back next week. Mike, you may not be back next week. We'll see what happens. I don't know.
Who yeah, knows? I think I might be on the roots.
It's fine. It's So do us a favor. In the meantime, go to the website, gamefixshow.com. Go check out all of our articles that Mike and Gina both post. They are very good. They will keep you up to date and as well as keep you entertained, especially with the retro reboot that happens every Tuesday. So go do that. Download the episode anywhere you would download episodes, Spotify, iTunes, you name it. We'd appreciate that because actually the downloads help more than watching live, although we love the people watching live. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, anyway, yeah, you know, so
spam the links.
That's it. So, all right. Well, there's only one thing left to do, and that's it's your world. Pay attention.
Oh, shit. Here we go again. See ya.
What does everybody want?
Head. Lima Zone.
Adios, turd nuggets.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Califato, and I'm the creator of 7-Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world, all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.